the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading verse 8. We'd like to extend our thanks to all of you, members especially of the King's Edition Baptist Church, Brother Hobbs, for the invitation, for the graciousness with which we have been treated, and all that we've enjoyed during this time of Bible conference. I appreciate much the prayers that I feel you've put into this, and also you pray for me as we study today concerning Satan and the saved. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Satan was one of God's creations, his angels. And as the state that God created him, he was holy. I believe that we find in Ezekiel that 28 that he was probably the highest of the angels that God created. He is always, and we must always remember, a creature. God is the creator, and Satan, though he be, as our brethren have said, under God, the second highest power or strongest power that there is within this world. But Satan was created in a state of uprightness. Then in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 17, we find that pride or sin entered into him, and through that he failed. Now pride is a very harmful sin, and it is something that Satan has harmed the people of God with throughout the ages, and it is surely something that we as his people today should guard against. For what do we have to boast of? What do we have to be proud of if we had any pride? All good that we have, Brother Rick, is from the Lord. And thank God for this. Now, as we consider today Satan and the saved, I shall be able to do nothing more than hopefully, may God grant, to cause you to have a desire to search the Scriptures and see what thus saith the Lord concerning this adversary that we have, who is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. As we consider him, I would like for us to notice four things about this. You've all heard of the three R's, I suppose. You know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, when I went to school, I think there should have been four R's, because we didn't have calculators, you know, and when it come to that arithmetic, I needed another R, racing, you know, E-R-A-S-E-I-N-G, if I spelled it right. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about? Well, concerning Satan and the saved, I'd like for us to notice four R's. First of all, we need to realize some things, recognize some things, resist him, and rely on God. If you can remember these four R's concerning Satan and the saved, I think it shall help you in our fight against him. First of all, realize. We see in our text, verse 8, the Bible tells us to be vigilant. Now this word carries with it watchfulness, awakeness, awareness. God says to us, watch out! Be awake, be aware. We have an adversary walking about seeking whom we may devour. Realize of Satan that he does exist. The Christian, whomever they may be, who does not give or who is ignorant or who denies or who shuns or ignores the existence of Satan and consideration of it, is playing right into the hands of Satan himself. The pastors of the Lord's churches, I challenge you, if you have not done so, take a concordance and see just how much God's Word teaches concerning Satan. If you have not done so, you may well be amazed at how much the Word of God tells us concerning him. There is very little of man's history in the Word of God until he is confronted with this adversary in a place where God created and placed him, that God says, "Behold, it's good." And as Adam and Eve were there in this place, they're being in a state of uprightness that they were created in, still, Satan gained the upper hand of them permissively under God, and surely cast all of humanity into the state that we find ourselves born into today. And we as God's people know, or should know, that when the teaching of the Word of God, the first time a subject or something concerning that is handled and taught in the Word of God, it teaches us and shows us many things concerning that subject. And you can look back to Satan in the Garden of Eden and learn a lot about him and learn a lot concerning what we shouldn't do and some things that we should do, and know that he's not going to leave us alone for very long. He exists. Now, it's important, my friends, and I'm not talking to you today about something that is not real. Satan exists, he's real, and we better know it. For if we fail to, then our defeat is sure, time after time after time. We'll get there, but brother, we may have a lot of bumps and bruises and knocks along the way if we fail to heed the teachings of God's Word concerning our adversary. Then Satan, not only should we realize his existence, but we should realize his motives. Satan's intelligent. Don't you think he's a dummy? He's not. He's evil, wicked, and everything bad that you can imagine, but he's no dummy. He has motives for the things that he does. They're wrong, and all about that. But still, he has motives to his madness. Satan has within him an insatiable hatred, even enmity, toward God. And that cannot be satisfied and shall never be satisfied. There is a time coming when an ultimate conflict shall take place between armies of Christ and Satan, and they're still not going to be settled, but there'll be a victor. Christ shall be victorious, and Satan shall be cast into the lake of fire forever. There is a dominating desire that Satan has within him to be equal with God, and as long as he cannot do so, he shall continue to try. He's building this army with which he hopes that he may defeat God. We were talking about it sometime a little while back this weekend, and I pointed out, what difference does it make how he goes about building his army? Because if he loses, he's going to the lake of fire forever and ever. There's no more punishment. There is logic behind his attempting I ever devised evil, deceitful way that he can to build an army to fight against God. He tries as all that God will allow him to thwart or destroy or harm the purposes and plans of God here in this earth. Then we need to realize that Satan, his character is manifest by the names that God gives him in the Bible. The word Satan, or the name Satan, which means our adversary or our opposer, appears 52 times in the Bible. Also, the word devil or slanderer, 35 times. Now, he's called the serpent, the great dragon, the evil one, the roaring lion, the tempter, the accuser, the deceiver, a murderer, a liar, and on and on and on does God give names for our adversary. And if these names are what God gives, they describe a lot of his character. So why should we not pay close attention to this and realize that there is nothing for us to play with, but that we should stay totally away from and resist him at all times? Then we need to realize concerning Satan and saved people that he's very powerful. Our brother's already read, he's the god of this world. He's a usurper, but he's the God of this world. He has already had one conflict with Christ at the cross. And there did he bruise the heel of our Lord. But my friends, there was a blow laid upon his head which shall ultimately end in his destruction and in the place that God has prepared for him. We realize as Jude 9 tells us that Michael, the archangel, when he would contend with Satan over the body of Moses, he dared not bring even a railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, Satan is a powerful enemy. He is one that is alive and well in this world today. He's powerful and he's active. You know, there's some in this religious world, some I understand who believe a lot of things we do, who teach that Satan is bound. Well, where do you reckon they got that from? Don't you reckon Satan would like for us to believe that he's bound? Don't you suppose that he would love it if we didn't think we had to fight against him and resist him and to contend against him? I'll tell you one thing. If he's bound, I sure would hate to be here when he gets loose. Wouldn't you? This would be a horrible place to live. And the world would be a sinful, wicked place if Satan is bound now when he gets loose. So, my friends, he's loose and he's all around us. He uses all his power and does all the evilness that God will allow him to do. Then we need to realize of Satan that as he is powerful, the Bible tells us that he's our adversary. Because your adversary. Did you hear that? God's child, he's your adversary. He's not just an adversary of God, that's true. But the devil, your adversary. Realize that. And realize that he is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Now he does not or is not our adversary strictly because of us, but because of God who lives in us. That's where the true hatred comes. For if Christ, if the Spirit of God were taken out of us, there wouldn't be anything much left to resist him, and he wouldn't have so much trouble with being an adversary. He'd just take us and do with us as he pleased, and we'd have no power at all to resist him. But Christ, the Spirit, is there, and my friends, we have an adversary. He would try with all that he can to destroy us. Now get this. Ephesians 6:12 talks about, "For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you do wrestle." It is a real wrestling match. Now this is not like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. You understand what I'm talking about? Satan doesn't pull punches. He comes at you full force. He doesn't give you a drop kick and say, "Uh-oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you." He's out to destroy you. He's a real adversary. And we wrestle against flesh and blood. But we have some weapons. They're not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty even to tearing down of strength holds. God help us that we may be enabled to use them. Our adversary Satan comes forth against us relentlessly, tirelessly, and attacks again and again and again. Not always, though sometimes, Satan under God will attack us physically and some even unto death. Now, you give some study to the Word of God. Check some of the churches and letters to the churches in the book of Revelation 2 and 3 and see how Satan attacked there against them. If we fail to realize these things concerning Satan as his people, then we are like the ostrich who has his head buried in the sand, thinking he's safe and all is well when he's standing in the middle of a battlefield. For my friends, we are there. And Satan is an adversary, real, powerful, active, and we must resist him by the grace of God. Then secondly, we not only need to realize some things, but we need to recognize some things concerning Satan. The Bible says, "Be sober." And that word sober means don't be under the influence of intoxicants. And I don't think that's necessarily alcohol when we deal with Satan. I don't think that's the problem with God's people. They don't get drunk. Satan get a hold of them. I think we're lulled to sleep by the subtlety of our adversary. He would cause us to not be watchful and not be aware. I didn't give Brother Carl this cold, but we had it about the same time, I guess. And we surely, as God's people, need to be sober and watch. We need to recognize Satan himself. And that's not always so easy, my friends, because the picture that the world has of him, and I might dare say some of God's people, I hope nobody here, but some of God's people where they go and are not taught anything and are too lazy to study for themselves, then they have a false conception of Satan. They picture him as someone who's red with a long pointed tail and a pitchfork and two horns sticking out. And they say, "Oh, brother, if somebody like that ever comes after me, I'll go straight to the Lord." Well, if he ever comes at you like that, I expect you would. But what about the way that he does come? Then we need also to recognize this, that he is truly there, and flee from him. We need to realize or recognize his wiles or his devices. Ephesians 6:11 talks about this. Satan is the master counterfeiter. Nobody can match him. He is a master at counterfeiting. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 that such are false prophets, apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Now, he has devices and is a counterfeiter. Everything that God has, Satan has copied and counterfeited. He has a counterfeit gospel. He has a counterfeit or will have Christ. He has counterfeit churches. He has counterfeited everything that God has. And you know the problem with counterfeits? You know, if I get out here and draw a dollar bill on this scratch pad, I probably can't spend it, you reckon? It'll be recognized as counterfeit. But if someone who is a really good engraver gets a hold of the right kind of paper, gets a hold of the right kind of ink, and they begin to counterfeit, it's a whole lot closer to the true thing. Therefore, it is more easily passed off as the true thing, and such are Satan's counterfeits. We as God's people ought to recognize the counterfeits of Satan, whether it be gospel or church or any of the other things, and we should not have fellowship with unfruitful works of unrighteousness. And we need to realize or recognize Satan's devices. Then also, we need to realize that Satan is subtle. Genesis chapter 3, we find Eve there, slowly, little by little, that serpent comes in. You know, he's so slow, and he'll take plenty of time, and he'll come around and do this, and it seems as if, oh, this is so harmless, how could it hurt? How could this really do anything? Pastor, you don't really think we shouldn't do that, do you? How can that hurt anything? And Eve had the same thought. As Satan began to plant seeds of doubt within her mind, slowly, little by little, as she was totally corrupted. Then he's also deceptive. He can do a better job than beauty shops. You're talking about is cosmetician a word? I don't know if it is or not, but it's what I mean. He can sure put some cosmetics on sin. He can make sin look so alluring, so beautiful, so pleasing, so pleasant. Kind of like these alcohol commercials on TV. You know what I mean? Here they are, and they go into this bar, you know, and they got a beautiful woman, and I've never seen a handsome man, but I guess the women think handsome men. And there they are in the bar. Well, I never drank much, thank God, but what time I did, I never was in one of those bars. I never saw one that had people in them who looked like that. And every rhino that I've ever seen in the streets of Winston-Salem didn't look at all like the people in those alcohol commercials. You know what they're doing? They're deceptive. They're lying. And Satan does the same thing with sin to the people of God. He paints it as pretty. He paints it as attractive. And it's destructive and brings misery and harm and destroys the testimony of God's people. And we need to recognize it. Satan is a liar. John 8:44. We need to recognize it. Can't trust him. Can't trust him. And we need to recognize these things and be not ignorant concerning them. Then we need to recognize his actions and what he does. I suppose it's about the best way to tell whether something be of Satan or not by the actions and the things that it does and what it promotes. May take some time, but if you'll just wait, it'll come through. My friends, what God loves, Satan hates. Now you can mark it down. There's enmity there. And in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. And I can read into that, these six things does Satan love. Yea, sin is an abomination unto God. And Satan says, give me more of it. And what are they? We won't turn and read, but you look at them sometime. But there are things that would promote division. There are things that would sow discord. They are things that would harm the saints of God from properly serving the Lord in this life. And Satan has action in his activity. Satan hinders or prevents God's servants from carrying out and doing their work. And he robs the joy that we would have whenever we do something that we ought to for the Lord. You ever do something and you just knew it was right, and something would come up, and it just take all the joy away from it? I think you can see a lot about that in Easter and Christmas. You know, God's people ought not be fooling around with them heathen Catholic practices. And whenever we don't, up jumps the devil. And here comes an accuser. Oh, you just don't love your children. Oh, you just want to deprive them. Oh, you just this, that, and the other. Satan taking our joy away for doing what we ought to in service to the Lord. David lost the joy of his salvation. Sometimes it's through sin. Various things. But he robs us of our joy, causes us doubt, accuses us unto God, and God unto us, and others unto us, and us unto others. He tempts us to sin. He persecutes us, and if it were possible, he'd totally destroy us, and especially the church. Christ said he loved the church and gave himself for it. Satan says, I hate the church and wish I could get rid of it. And he tried everything he can, but thanks be to God, the gates of hell, they'll try, but they shall not prevail against it, for the Lord is walking amongst them. He has accomplished. We need to realize that. He's not alone. You know? You say, brother, how many demons are they? Well, I can tell you. I can tell you how many there are. Or at least close. The Bible talks about an innumerable company of angels. And in Revelation, it pictures that old dragon, Satan, as being cast out of heaven and taking his tail and dragging a third of the stars with him. So you tell me how much a third of an innumerable company is, and you're getting pretty close to how many demons there are. These, or at least I believe that, I believe demons are fallen angels. And therefore, this third that followed him out of heaven are the demons. And they are devoted totally to evil and destruction and misery and hatred of God's people. And the devil's the president, the commander-in-chief. And they do what he says. They obey him and carry out his orders. And he surely is such. Then, oh, that's just two R's. Then, thirdly, we must resist him. What does our text say? Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. No temptation taking you but that which is common to man. Is that right? Your brethren have the same thing. They're also those of us who are in the world, and those that have gone on, Satan no longer bothers them. But with those that are in the world, the same problems are there. Satan is all our adversary. So we ought to get together on this thing and wrestle against him. Then we steadfastly resist him, not occasionally resist him, but steadfastly. We resist him by drawing nigh unto God by prayer, study, fellowship, songs, and praising him. We resist him by godly living, abstaining from the very appearance of evil. Now listen to me, saints. We cannot whip this adversary on his ground. You know, Eve should have not got up there looking at that tree. David shouldn't have went out and looked at Bathsheba. And I'll tell you right now, Christians, there's some movies, there's some magazines, there's some things that we ought not be looking at either. Don't you think that you can go in one of the devil's strongholds and come out of there victorious? It's hard enough to resist him at church. So don't you even begin to think that you're going to wrestle and win when you go where they're all on his side, so to speak. Let us stay away from these things and abstain from the very appearance of evil. Then we resist him by putting on the whole armor of God. Why do you think God told us about that in Ephesians 6? We need it. It's a necessary thing. And yet how much do we even know about it? We resist him by watching for Jesus Christ. I think about the apostles as they were there in the garden. Christ says, wait here and pray. Watch and pray. He goes on a little while and comes back, and there they are asleep. And I think that's where the churches are and the saints are today. We should be watching and praying for our Savior. And my friends, instead, we're lulled into spiritual sleep by the God of this world, to where we have lost any spiritual recognition almost of the devices and the recognition of Satan as he fights against us. We need to resist him in faith in the Word of God. Believe it, stand with it, and resist Satan. Then finally, and this brings us to this, we resist him in faith by relying on God. Amen. That's the only way. We don't have the power to whip him. Michael, the archangel, didn't bring a railing accusation against him. He didn't say, let's go at it, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get all puffed up and want to go at it. But Michael says, the Lord rebuke you. Maybe not Job, but anyway, you know, some do. But friends, we must rely on God. And we can rely on God, for he is able. We must rely on God, the Holy Spirit, because, we've heard it, haven't we? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Huh? And listen, we got a third of an innumerable company of demons against us, but we got two-thirds of that innumerable company of angels with us. 2-1! And God to boot. I think we'll win, don't you? We rely on God and the Holy Spirit. For in order for Satan to ever truly take one of his, then he must get the Spirit of God out of us. And I think he'd have a little trouble with that. He might handle me. He might destroy me. But my friends, there's one greater than he who lives within us. Then we can rely on God the Son as our great high priest. Remember, all here upon the earth, he says to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Christ says, but Peter, I pray for you. I pray for you that your faith fail not. Now, he didn't say, I pray that you wouldn't be attacked. Did he? He said, I pray that you fail not. And my friends, it didn't. When you're converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. Day of Pentecost, a great sermon preached, and about 3,000 souls saved. Amen. It didn't. And then John 17, Christ prays for us, as he did for Peter. He is our high priest in heaven, and God heareth him always. We can trust and rely in our great high priest. And we must trust in God. How much time I got? Oh, my. We must trust in God for in His providence. Romans 8:28. All things must work together for our good. God has given His angels charge over us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up to death, shall He not also freely give us all things? We must trust God in His protection. The church was warned, fear none of these things. And God said, Satan says to God concerning Job, hey, but you got a hedge up around it. I can't get there. That's an impenetrable force field that has the omnipotent power bank of God holding it. And Satan might run and butt his head. But until Satan grants entrance, and then only under controlled conditions, shall he ever touch one of God's saints. Then we can trust God in His power. Satan's very powerful, but God's the creator. We find from the Word of God that everything was framed by the word of His mouth. He said, spoke into being, Satan. And you know He's got the same power to speak out of being or into control, Satan. He uses Satan, and we may trust God and rely on God in His plan. He uses Satan somewhat as a puppet on a string or a dog on a leash, and he can go and that's it. And he is used to strengthen us, to purge us through trials, buffeting, or suffering. Read the last part of verse 10. After that you have suffered a little while, make you perfect. Establish you. Strengthen you. Settle you. And it's going to be to the glory of God. That's what verse 11 says. To Him be power from now and forever. We are come out stronger, as did Job. He gained through his trial. The early church was persecuted and they grew. Satan's defeated. As surely as he is there already, God has prepared a place for him. And my friends, God has prepared a place for His saints. Satan will be in his place and we'll be in our place. Satan and the saved, he's real. Remember the four R's. Resist him, realize, recognize, and rely on God. Thank you, Matt.